Practical discipline number 3. Put your best people on your biggest opportunities, not your biggest problems. In the early 1960s, R.J. Reynolds and Philip Morris derived the vast majority of their revenues from the domestic arena. R.J. Reynolds' approach to international business was, if somebody out there in the world wants a camel, let them call us. Joe Coleman at Philip Morris had a different view. He identified international markets as the single best opportunity for long-term growth, despite the fact that the company derived less than 1% of its revenues from overseas. Coleman puzzled over the best strategy for developing international operations and eventually came up with a brilliant answer. It was not a what answer, but a who. He pulled his number one executive, George Weissman, off the primary domestic business and put him in charge of international. At the time, international amounted to almost nothing, a tiny export department, a struggling investment in Venezuela, another in Australia, and a tiny operation in Canada. When Joe put George in charge of international, a lot of people wondered what George had done wrong, quipped one of Weissman's colleagues. I didn't know whether I was being thrown sideways, downstairs, or out the window, said Weissman. Here I was running 99% of the company, and the next day I'd be running 1% or less. Yet as Forbes magazine observed 20 years later, Coleman's decision to move Weissman to the smallest part of the business was a stroke of genius. Urbane and sophisticated, Weissman was the perfect person to develop markets like Europe, and he built international into the largest and fastest-growing part of the company. In fact, under Weissman's stewardship, Marlboro became the best-selling cigarette in the world 3 years before it became number one in the United States. The RJR versus Philip Morris case illustrates a common pattern. The good-to-great companies made a habit of putting their best people on their best opportunities, not their biggest problems. The comparison companies had a penchant for doing just the opposite, failing to grasp the fact that managing your problems can only make you good, whereas building your opportunities is the only way to become great. There is an important corollary to this discipline. When you decide to sell off your problems, don't sell off your best people. This is one of those little secrets of change. If you create a place where the best people always have a seat on the bus, they're more likely to support changes in direction. For instance, when Kimberly Clark sold the mills, Darwin Smith made it clear, the company might be getting rid of the paper business, but it would keep its best people.